this.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
But I'll probably hate it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 of Sports Hub, also broadcasting on the 98.5 of Sports Hub app, free download on iPhone and Android devices. If you haven't done it yet, do so. Works fantastic. You can take us anywhere you go. It's the 98.5 of Sports Hub app, and of course, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. It is an agenda-free Friday. You're on Felger and Mass, and it's brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges. They don't. PlanetFitness.com. Mike, Tony, out today. So you get to yours truly, Jim Murray and Chris Gasper, Boston Globe, in for the guys alongside Sean Silver. Do you guys have any other thoughts you want to get to before we maybe go back to the people? They typically do this here on Agenda-Free Friday at the 5 o'clock hour.
I mean, but anytime you guys want to go back to that Bruins thing, because I definitely think it's fascinating the way this has played out for them. And I think when you look at Donnie Sweeney and a lot of the moves he's made, you know, at the NHL level, not many of them have panned out. So given what's happened in their division, he could really use a hit unless he's going to get bailed out. And, you know, I'm going to look like an idiot 6 months from now when, you know, Trent Frederick comes up and is the leader in the clubhouse, you know, to win the Calder as the Rookie of the Year.
And so, Sean, this was stemming from your opening take at 2 o'clock. You just feel like the Bruins and Don Sweeney might be sitting on their hands a bit, considering that they lose out on John Tavares, goes to the Toronto Maple Leafs, so, you know, you got to deal with them, and they got better. And Erik Karlsson, rumored to be traded to the Tampa Bay Lightning. If that happens, well, that's another team that you got to worry about that got better than the Bruins. What the hell are the Bruins doing? Feels like nothing.
Sure, and I'm not exactly saying that the Bruins need to be in on Erik Karlsson, specifically him, but they should be. And it's more of a reflection of, you know, what is the franchise doing? I think that we feel like them coming back from the spot with the, where they were when they fired Claude and brought in a new regime. They were, what, a six seed maybe 2 years ago, and then they climbed up in the Eastern Conference very, very quickly, got some contributions, you know, coming up from the farm. And it's like, all right, well, the Bruins can play right now. They have a nice mix of veterans and young talent. But what are they? And I don't think that, you know, ownership, management, anybody has really defined that for us as fans. Just hanging around isn't really good enough for me. So that's what I want to say.
And I think that's a really good point by Sean, Jim, just because when you look at it, yeah, they have all these young guys and these prospects. And first of all, there's not enough, you know, spots in the lineup for all these guys to play. You know, you can't have, just by definition, you can't have 12 or 18 top six forwards. Like, that doesn't work, right? So you have these young guys, but also you look at the core of your team, you know, Char is 41. Bergeron turns 33 later this month. Tuca's 31. Marchand's 30. Will you be able to capitalize on these guys while you still have them, or are you just waiting for young guys and sifting through young guys trying to separate who can play and who can't? And by the time you figure it out, you know, maybe the core of this team at that point is Pasternak and McAvoy and Jake DeBrusk, and it's a different team. Maybe you've lost Bergeron's prime. Maybe you've lost Marchand's prime. So I'm just curious. It's sort of a balancing act there for them, and you have to be able to do it, and that means making moves at the NHL level, and the track record there is not
great.
Good.
No. I trust him when it comes to drafting, but the NHL level moves, I don't know. I've thought of like Zach Ronaldo and you know, bums like that.
Yeah.
I just want to touch on this because it was stemming from something you just had in the Hub headline, Sean, was few things bother me as a sports fan than the washed-up superstar who signs with a trash team in the twilight of their career. And if you missed it at the top of the hour, ex-Spurs guard Tony Parker has signed with the Charlotte Hornets. And there's just something that offends my sensibilities as a sports fan there. When you see a guy like that with a bum team, you're just like, ugh. And at the risk of maybe doing a, you know, the Mount Rushmore of washed-up superstars that ended up on bum teams, like, to me, the high watermark of that was Emmitt Smith on the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
That was so embarrassing.
Yep.
And any time that he was, I was like, oh, right, ugh, like, what are you doing? You need the money that bad? Was there anyone else, like, but to me, it's Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt's pretty high. That's a good one, I have to be honest. Definitely.
Jordan on the Bullets.
Jordan on the Bullets was so, you know, this. I'm so ashamed of this. I never, for all the Celtics games I got to go to as a kid, but I never saw the Bulls in Jordan in his prime. The only time I ever saw Jordan was when he was with the Wizards.
Oh, man.
It was just like, dude, like, this is, you're like a slob like me at this point. Like, I may as well watch myself play basketball. It was so embarrassing. Jordan with the Wizards is another good one, Jimmy.
Shaq on the Celtics.
Another good one there.
We were talking.
Dominique on the Celtics.
Yeah.
Xavier McDaniels on the Celtics.
Yeah, there were some.
I have a terrible. Wow, that guy.
Gary Payton on the Celtics.
Let me just go off on Xavier McDaniel for a minute. You know, first of all, he was excellent. His cameo in Singles,
yeah.
Which I always confuse with Reality Bites, which was just on and we talked about off the air. But I went to this like Celtics open practice thing when I was a kid, and I wanted to get a basketball sign, and like everybody's running up and they're all just, you know, throwing stuff in Xavier McDaniel's face, and you know, everyone's doing this and doing this, and so I'm there for a while and he's not signing it. So I stand up on my tippy toes and sort of, you know, stretch it out a little bit. And he goes, "Kid, get that ball out of my face." And he eventually did sign it, but it was like so sloppy. I mean, it literally was like an X and a squiggle.
And you've always held that against him.
It's just I have. I was like, forget that guy. I was like, you're a washed up bum to begin with.
Did you guys know that Xavier McDaniel had his own sneaker line in the 90s?
Yeah, wasn't it British Knights?
No, it was literally called Xanthus. I had these sneakers. They were like sneakers you could get at Bradley's. I had these sneakers in the 1990s. They had a big X on them. Xavier McDaniel, of all pro basketball players, had his own sneaker line.
Who was the dude that signed with British Knights? There was some superstar.
Oh, there was a guy.
The Dimasel?
Was it Dirk Coleman?
Maybe.
It might have been. Look it up, Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is normally what I got to deal with.
Dance.
Look
Sean,
that up.
Dance.
Mike in Woburn, you're next here on an Agenda-Free Friday. Hey, Mike.
Gentlemen, come to solve some problems. Jim, Friendlies, the Orange Freeze.
Oh, so they'll do that? It's basically like a creamsicle in a cup?
It's basically orange sherbet and Sprite. Delicious.
Done.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah.
All right. Gasper, you are a millennial, okay? Nobody who can name Transformers and understand what the Phoebe Cates bathing suit scene and her contributions to the Gremlin series is a millennial. There's no way. You are old guy like one of us.
Okay.
You are...
Yeah. You had me. Well, if I get to be part of the generation that appreciates Phoebe Cates, I'm cool with it.
There you go. And finally, Jim, you know, you can also, when you get done with that freeze, the orange freeze, you can just put it right into a whale's blowhole when you go on the beach. So
I know.
There you go.
I mean,
listen.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, while we have you, have to hit on the Bruins while we got you.
All right. Well,
tell me about Chiarelli, Mike.
I could, Jimmy. Do you want, how many segments do you want me to fill?
We've got an hour to go. Take your time, Peter Chiarelli. Go.
Let's go. Okay, do you want me to start from not knowing what an over 35-year-old contract is, trading for one of the worst defensemen ever at the deadline? Where do you want me to? I could go on for hours. But Don Sweeney, you have to look at all his moves through the looking glass that he was being forced to contend when the team clearly was not able to. So when you look at the moves to sign Bolesky, when you look at the reason why they didn't trade Rask, is he has his owner demanding a deep playoff run. Can you do that with a goalie that you don't know is NHL ready? I know you talk about the Martin Jones thing.
Yes,
Chris.
Yes.
Okay. Don Sweeney is being forced to contend immediately. Most GMs don't have to do this. Most GMs get a year and a half, grace time to sort of rebuild, to sell off assets that they did not compile, and then, you know, contend at their leisure after a couple seasons of accumulating assets and talent. Sweeney had to just basically turn over the giant dung heap that Chiarelli assembled and immediately contend. And for 2 years, he spun his wheels. I don't blame him for some of the moves that he made. I don't blame him that Dougie Hamilton, who was just traded again, decided he didn't want to play in Boston and he had to deal him like on at the drop of a hat. Sweeney was given a bunch of crap that he had to deal with that other GMs don't, and he needs to be sort of given graded on a scale, in my opinion. And I was very hard on Sweeney right off the bat. The Zach Rinaldo trade, indefensible. Indefensible. Anybody who has watched one game of Zach Rinaldo's career knows exactly what that guy is, and he's not worth a sixth-round pick, let alone a third. But the Bruins, I mean, I think they're in a good shape. And chasing a deal after Tavares didn't choose you and Erik Karlsson doesn't want to go to you, I think is folly. You're looking to make something happen that isn't there. I'd rather stay the course and not chase something that isn't available.
Yeah, I'm mostly with you on that. It's just, it is difficult to see some of the other teams around you get better, especially if Tampa ends up landing Erik Karlsson. Mike, before I let you go real quick, how'd your wife handle the Brazil loss?
I went home, and it did like the live action version of the Homer Simpson, like, you know, falling back into the shrubbery. Like, get me the hell out of there. Like, I need to find, anybody know any good hotels? I need to find a place for a week to like lay up if my house hasn't already been burned to the ground.
All right, thanks for the call, Mike, and good luck with that. Yeah, Brazil upset, sort of, by this Belgium team that has been on a roll in the World Cup. And I know do soccer on your own time, but it's an agenda-free Friday, so I'm going to bring it up. Deal. What was that, Sean?
We can do British Knights right here. Derek Coleman, indeed.
Yes,
it was.
This pales in comparison
yes,
to now.
I knew
but
it.
In 92, he got a $10 million deal from British Knights, which was considered huge at the time.
Well, BK, it is. What
BK
is that now?
Also tied with Kumo D and Public Enemy back in the 80s, and MC Hammer in the 90s.
I knew it was Derek Coleman.
There you go.
By the way, one of the great waste of
Gen
talent.
Gen X Chris Gasper with the reference.
You're old. Deal with it.
One of the great waste of talent in the history of the NBA, Derek Coleman.
All right, I promise we'll get right to your calls here on an agenda-free Friday right after this. It's Chris Gasper and Jim Murray in for Felger and Mass today here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah, let it slowly ride in here. Yeah. Agenda-free Friday on Felger and Mass. Yeah. Gasper Murray in for the guys today. It's 98.5 The Sports Hub simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. It being agenda-free, anything is on the table. Go ahead, Chris, yes?
No, I was just going to say, it's like I feel like when you use that voice, you should be the live music act at the Toby Keith's at Patriot Place.
Yeah, hey, look, I'm available. I can do it after a Patriots post game. How about that? I'll show up.
Well, not if they're losing, because I tried to watch a game at Toby Keith's with you last year, and that didn't go too well, even though they ended up winning.
Oh, that's right. That was the Pittsburgh Steelers game where I had to storm back into the building. The excuse was, Chris, I had to get ready to do the post-game show on Patriots.com. Really was, I just should not be in public watching Patriots
Oh, no,
games.
You definitely should not. Oh, and it's just like, you can't even talk to Jim. It's just, he gives you this pain, like, why are you trying to talk to me look?
It's
like,
if MF here, it's oh, yeah. C-bomb here, just yeah. out, just yelling
I,
into the
I
void.
I have to be honest with you. You know, I think human beings define their existence through misery. You know, I think I just ripped that off from The Matrix, but I do think it's right. And I have to say, I don't think I've ever seen a human being in person as miserable as you were that day.
Yeah, again, that's typically the sports viewing experience with yours truly. Jimmy Stewart has seen it live in person, too, at a Celtics-Atlanta Hawks playoff game.
Yeah, the towel biting was and the shirt biting was interesting. Yeah. But I also saw the other side of it. At a Patriots game where you were over the top excited after touchdowns.
Yeah, where
you were there with the Wong father.
That's right, where I nearly knocked over you, Andy Wong of the Kowloon, Mike Sarge Riley, and the rest of the row after the that was the punt return, or no, the kickoff return for a touchdown by Deion Lewis in that divisional playoff game against the Texans a couple
of years ago. I believe I have point of view video for this.
Yes, I am a big dumb animal, folks. Going to a Patriots game or watching sports in general with me, especially if it's a playoff game, it's like they shaved an ape and put it in front of a television.
So how would you feel about, you know, if somebody bought this Super Bowl 42 Eli Manning helmet for you and presented it to you?
It would be smashed. Cam and Taunton with a World Cup thought. Go ahead, Cam, with the thought of the day.
Hey, Jim, I just got to let you know, first of all, I mean, don't worry about soccer talking about it. If Elgar wants to control the content of the show, maybe he should be there.
Right.
and I got a best story for you, too. After Game 7 against the Cavs just a few months ago, I was so frustrated. I went out behind my house, and I was literally had cans of full root beer, and I was throwing them up in the air like they were a baseball with my baseball bat and cranking them into the woods because I was that pissed off after those freaking gagging dogs not there in blue Game 7 like that because that collection of misfit toys.
And who cares if you get sticky? It's about getting that anger out. Chris, you weren't here yesterday. Okay. What Cam's referencing, and the reason this came up, was one of the more offensive things to me that offended my sports sensibilities, much like Tony Parker going to the Charlotte Hornets, was that the Japanese fans, after they their team blew it and gagged it away on Monday to Belgium, they were up 2-0, lose 3-2, they helped clean the stadium. They helped clean. They stuck around.
Oh, that's really nice of them.
Yeah. Oh, please.
That's a cultural thing.
Thank you, Chris.
Respect.
No, Cam, you get it. It's about smashing stuff and being angry and acting like a child.
They're not ugly Americans.
Yeah, but go ahead, Cam.
I could share what I did after the 2010 NBA Finals, but I might be banned from the airwaves. I'll just say this on the World Cup. I mean, with all due respect to Mike and Wubin and your wife, seeing Brazil go down in flames today just makes me so happy. Because Neymar is the most unlikable. Did you see what he did? I think it was on Sunday or Monday morning
when a guy barely stepped on his leg. You would have thought he went up there with a hacksaw and cut his leg off.
Oh, yeah, the full Ribeiro? Absolutely.
Yeah, rolling all around, rolling, and then two seconds later, he's up on his feet fine. And, Jim, I have to ask you, somebody who's so into sports schadenfreude, 4 years ago when the 7-1 Germany thumping happened and all those Brazil fans were shown in the crowd bawling their eyes out, how'd that make you feel?
So it's funny. Like, I, as much as I am for the pain of others, sports fans, I'm not that sick, but with sports, I am.
Mostly those who live in Cleveland.
I enjoy the sports schadenfreude. I pull for Brazil. Like, there's something about it that if it matters so much, and if it's a sport I don't care all that much about, soccer being one of them, like, I know what it means to Brazilians and how much national pride there is with that team. Like, I'm not going to enjoy it that much. Granted, some of the photos are hilarious, but, like, I'm not going to enjoy it all that much. Like, you know, a Cleveland Browns fan, if they happen to see their team miraculously get to the Super Bowl and the Browns choked it away, like, I would get some enjoyment out of that. You know, like, there's different levels of where I am with the sports schadenfreude. Brian and Clinton, you're next here on an Agenda Free Friday on Felgren Mass. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Marty, what's going on, man? I heard you say earlier that the national anthem doesn't really get played anywhere else besides sport venues, and I'm in the military, I'm a veteran, and when I went to the movies, every time before a movie was played, the national anthem was played before it. We would all stand up in the movie theater.
But was this on base?
Yeah,
okay.
On military base.
Okay.
On military base.
All right, well, I understand that. I stand corrected in that case.
And I want you to give me a different reason as to why Jameis Winston got 3 games versus, in my opinion, what should be a lifetime ban from the NFL. Why he got 3 games versus some more severe suspension. A different reason other than race. Because that is, come on, man. You got to give me something better than that.
Well, thank you for the call and for the service, but this is going to frustrate you, and I think this is what makes most NFL fans crazy. It's because he went and kissed Goodell's ring. That's why he got 3 games. If he decided to fight this a little bit and, you know, not put out the apology like he did, and it was a ham-handed apology as it was, Winston, yeah, to this girl that was the Uber driver, it's because he capitulated to the league,
yeah,
and Goodell. That's why he got 3 games. Ezekiel Elliott tried to fight it. He gets 6. It's all out of whack. It's another thing that proves how poorly run the NFL is in terms of the brass and how they handle suspensions, especially when it comes to domestic violence.
The commissioner shouldn't be in the discipline building.
No, he should not. No, but if you go and you kiss the ring and you just say, "Oh, I'm sorry," then you're going to get a slap on the wrist like Winston did. Look, there's a track record here with Jameis Winston. I firmly believe something else is going to end up happening with this guy. Troubled past, bit of a knucklehead. I don't believe for a second that he's cleaned up his act. What was that apology? Basically, like, "Hey, I've stopped drinking." Really didn't apologize all that much to the girl who was the Uber driver. Like, something else will happen with this guy. So I do feel like karmically there'll be comeuppance for Jameis Winston. But believe me, three games, it's a joke that's all he got.
Well, I didn't quite understand the call, though. What was his reference to? So, I mean, obviously, I think a lot of people feel like he should have gotten more than the 3 games, and I agree as well. But what was the race reference there? I didn't get it.
I wasn't going to go down that
okay
road.
All right. Is there like somebody else that got like a worse penalty? I don't, you know,
maybe it had to do with Brady and he got 4 games for the deflated balls and
oh,
it was
okay.
Like we're better off all together.
Okay, but, yeah, I was just, you know, just trying to understand
if it's where I think he might have wanted to go with it, like, I'll save him from the embarrassment. Mike in the car again, Agenda Free Friday, everything on the table. Mike in the car on yoga, go ahead, Mike.
Hi, Jim. I just want to let you know, I saw a YouTube video of yours about a week ago, and you talked about hot yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to call and tell you, I agree with you. I have back pain myself, and yoga is one of the only things that helps my back pain. So I want to just let you know that.
Shout out, Mike. Appreciate it. You're checking out the off-air show on YouTube. Just search for that if you're not following it already. We would appreciate that, but it's kind of like an offshoot of what we do on Felger and Maz. But yeah, as you know, Chris, about a month ago, came in on a Saturday,
man, yeah,
and I was basically delirious in pain. I'm a back pain sufferer and have been for close to 20 years. A sneeze, a fart could throw it out, and it's awful. Weeks and weeks of pain, and I don't want to have the pain try to go away with opioids or anything like that. I can understand, like, when you deal with that kind of pain and you can't deal with it, or maybe you don't have health insurance, can't go see a doctor, you end up calling a friend, got a couple of perks. Next thing you know, a couple of months down the road, you're hooked. Like, it's a bad thing. This is what happens. So one of the alternatives I found over years of dealing with back pain is going to hot yoga. I know some guys out there are like, I ain't doing that. Nah, yoga, I wouldn't be caught dead. I'm telling you, if you deal with back pain.
And that guy's Toby Keith, apparently.
Especially, yeah. Sounds like James Hetfield doing yoga. Get down, dog. Yeah, let's get in a tree. It helps tremendously. The heated room. Stretching out, oh man, I can't stress it enough. It works wonders. That and yeah, stretching, making sure you get to sleep on a hard floor every once in a while. Back pain sufferers, hot yoga, try it.
Yeah,
another voice that you'll quickly laugh at, Chris. Again, you're such a good audience for me. So this is why anyone out there, look, this is the show. We should be working together.
All you had to
chemistry,
do is...
you can't get this kind of chemistry everywhere.
Rumor and innuendo is podcasting will be happening tomorrow for you guys.
Oh, good.
Oh, wow.
You can find. You'll be able to find that on the Felger and Maz channel of iTunes in particular, or 98.5thesportshub.com.
Jimmy Stewart gets results. I was going to say, the only thing missing for you, the hot yoga, is you got to throw America in there.
Oh yeah,
American hot yoga.
Actually, there's other. Look, search around. There's places that can make it a little more manly for you. There was a place I used to go to in Atlanta that did it was like thrash metal yoga on Saturday mornings. This girl that was like way into metal would play like Slayer, Rain and Blood its an entirety, and that's what you would do a hot yoga class to. It was the balls.
DDP yoga as well.
There. So Jimmy, you've tried that before? Diamond Dallas
Page. 2 years ago, dropped 25 pounds on DDP yoga. I could use some now.
Yeah, you and me both.
It's not your mama's yoga.
That's the thing. Yeah, I do love that eating. all right, so.
Food is my best friend.
Yeah, me too. Takes away all the pain.
Thanks for the pizza.
Sean Silver, Hub Headlines here. He'll get you caught up with the latest. If you haven't heard, Tony Parker going to slum it in the rest of his career with the Charlotte Hornets, something I find embarrassing, so we've discussed that. That and anything else on the table. In the time remaining on an agenda-free Friday, we'll get to the Hub Headlines, and I promise, right to your calls right after this, here on a Felger and Maz 98.5 Sports Hub.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz 98.5 of Sports Hub. Again, it's Jim Murray and Chris Gasper in for the guys today. It's an agenda-free Friday. Before we get to the calls, I just want to let you know about the 2018 Sports Hub Blood Drive, Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive, happening Saturday, July 14th. You can donate from 10 in the morning until 3:30 in the afternoon at the Best Western in Woburn. There's going to be raffles and games throughout the day. Walk-ins are welcome. You can even schedule an appointment at redcrossblood.org. I would recommend doing that so you don't have to show up and wait. Like, oh, there's a line. It's the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive. Saturday from 10 to 3:30 at the Best Western in Woburn. Do some good and check that out. Of course I would say that too. Like, I would go to that, try to do something good, and I would be annoyed because there'd be a line. Like, most nice people wouldn't think that. Like, I'm just here to do good. I don't care if there's a line at all. I'll play some games and I'll get into the raffle. Of course, that's where I go.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, there's a line.
Yeah, you hate lines.
Oh,
you definitely
like,
hate
like
lines.
You don't even know.
You always have to have a can you make a reservation for that?
You can, again. Go okay. To redcrossblood.org. That's what I would do.
So yeah, that's exactly the line. What you would do. Or your lovely lady would do it for you.
If, so some of my friends who have kids have recently gone to Disney, it being summertime and all, and Jimmy, you'll soon be in this boat, but I don't know how. If you're a parent, I guess maybe it's affordability, but I don't know, maybe take out a loan. I don't know how, if you're a parent, you got especially a couple of kids, and you'd go to Disney and not buy those things that you can do to skip the line. There's those fancy passes.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm all for that in every way, shape, or form.
When I went down there last summer, that's exactly what I did, the skip the line pass.
How much is that?
I don't have time to wait 45 minutes for a photo with Mickey Mouse.
How much is that? It's kind of pricey, right?
Like, at least it was a little bit extra in the package that I purchased, but it was totally worth it. Absolutely.
And the thing is, though, at the risk of sounding like an uppity, which in a lot of ways I am, and you know that, Chris, because this is one of the reasons we get along. You're the same cut from the same cloth.
Okay.
The thing is, you got to make the price point kind of high. Like, you got to price a certain segment out. Like,
you want it to be exclusionary. Just say which, yeah.
Well, here's a case in point. The TSA pre-check, which I got a couple of years ago. When I first got it, I was like, this is...
great value right there.
Oh, it's the best. But the problem is, Jimmy, it's too cheap. It's like 85 bucks, and now the rest of the world has TSA pre-check. I can tell you firsthand, the last time I flew just to New York like a month ago, you get there and it's like, what? No! The regular line's shorter than this! This isn't how it's supposed to work! You got to make it at least a couple $100.
Did you have the instance, because I watched this happen, where you try to go through the regular line and they're like, sorry, sir, you have to go through the pre-screened line?
I've had that happen.
Yeah. And then I got through the pre-check finally, and they're like, take your shoes off. And I kind of almost lost my mind and nearly got arrested because I was like, no, this is why I have the pre-check, so I don't have to take off my effing shoes. I know they have a job to do. I know that they have power there, but I just wasn't having it at that time of the day.
Got
to
make friends with them, take photos with them.
That's right.
They must recognize you when you come through, though.
Yeah, there's the a-hole that complains about lines. Take your shoes off, jerk, before we get here.
You're like me.
Right. Jimmy's the nice one, as we find out from the high school yearbook photo you tweeted out today. What were you? What was your superlative nicest?
I was voted most friendly by the class of 1999 Newton South High School members.
What has happened? Too much working with Dale? Is that work you down to a nub? Is that why you're the angry Jay Stu now?
It's amazing what responsibility and stress will do to a man.
All right, so yeah, if you haven't checked that out, I am James Stewart, the young Jay Stu, looking all fresh-faced pre-radio. Okay,
right meat baby face. Now I'm an evil villainous heel.
Right to you guys, from now until the end of the show here on Agenda Free Friday, Felger and Maz. Let's go to John in Stoughton with a thought on Kyrie Irving. Go, John. John! Hello, John!
Hey, what's going on, bud?
Hi, go ahead.
I just want to talk about Kyrie Irving's longevity out here in Boston, and not only Boston, but his career itself.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think? How long does he have, not only in his career, but out here in Boston? His contract's up at the end of this year. What do you guys think about getting a little bit of Lonzo action? Where do you think Lonzo's going to end up?
Oh, God.
Lonzo Ball? No, I'm out. No.
Yeah.
I'm
no, 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 I'm no, good. No. I'm no good. Lonzo Ball. No LaVar Ball. No. No other balls in the Ball family. None. Zero. No, 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 no.
Look, the knee is a concern going forward. I think that's going to be something that's going
to
continue.
He leaked out his own injury so that they wouldn't trade him to Portland for Damian Lillard.
Right.
That's a true story, as you'll find out soon enough.
That's a given. Of course, Jay Stu knows that, too.
You'll find out soon enough.
But, yeah, no, that was leaked out there by the Balls because they don't want to move from L.A.
Well, I was telling you a week ago that Damian Lillard was on the trade market. Oh, what happened yesterday? Damian Lillard is on the trade market. Oh, okay, thank you.
But I'm good with Lonzo Ball. And Kyrie here, longevity, sure, that's a concern. What's the most he's ever played in one season? I think it's 74 or 75 games, right off the top of my head. I think that's pretty close. Is it?
I have his page up now, so I'll take
it. I think 75 games is his career high.
2014-15, he played 75 games.
He's played 60 a few times now.
So including last year, he played 60.
The knee is a concern, and it will be until the end of his career.
The most important games played are in April, May, and June. You want him for all of those games.
You just got to worry about him maybe going to the Knicks next summer. That's all. Tim in West Bridgewater on Chris Sale tonight. We have Red Sox back in action tonight. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Doing well.
I was calling about Chris Sale, and then I was scrolling through the old Twitter machine, and I'm looking at Jim Murray's feed, and you actually think that the UK office is better than the American office?
Without
really
question.
Believe that?
I do.
Come on, Jim.
I do.
I've met you before, actually before a Celtics game. You were nothing but pleasant, but be realistic for 30 seconds of your life.
Tim, I mean it. This isn't just me trying to like do a troll take. I genuinely enjoy the British office more than the American office. I know, look, it's subjective. That's most like, you know, most television shows, movies, any form of art. I know people feel very strongly about the American office, and it's a good show. It's just not as funny as the British office.
A good show, Jim.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it's good. It's just not great. It's not as great as the British office. David Brent's a better character than Steve Carell's character in the American office.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the supporting cast.
I don't need the supporting cast. It was supposed to be about David Brent. He's the better character. He's the better boss. I thought it captured the essence of working in a horrible office much better than the American office, which certainly got way too goofy with the final like three
and
or four
and
seasons.
The Pam and Jim thing got aggravating.
Yeah, you don't watch. Nobody watches the last three or four seasons of that show if you have a brain. Let's be realistic, Jim.
We'll have to agree to disagree. What did you have on Chris Sale, Tim?
I think that he's going to blow them away. I think your call screener has about his mortgage and maybe a little more on it. So I think he's going to blow them away tonight. I think it's not even going to be close.
Without question, if you look at how he's pitched over the last five starts, four earned runs over 35 innings, struck out 54. As long as he gets the run support against this terrible Kansas City team, I mean, I wouldn't even be shocked if like a no-hitter is in play tonight. Not that I'm saying that by jinxing them. But yeah, Chris Sale is going to be dominant against this terrible Royals team tonight. Man, I mentioned it earlier. Whew. By the way, just to let you know, right, filling in for Maz again on the baseball reporters. Now that I've said that, I don't know how, unless you're a hardcore seam head, you're going to do this between now and the end of the month. This schedule for the Red Sox, some of these games, my God, against this terrible competition in this awful American League, Royals. And you follow that with the Texas Rangers, and you follow that with
the Blue Jays.
Follow that with the Orioles.
I think it's Detroit and the Orioles.
It's all crap.
Scheduled win.
A lot of scheduled wins coming up here for the Red Sox.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about that, though, and I wrote about this today in the Globe. Here's the thing. If they win those games, you're basically saying, well, I don't care. That means nothing because they beat these teams.
Mm-hmm.
But if they lose them, you're going to rip them.
Yeah, okay. That's the deal.
Well, at least you're honest.
But they continue to win and dominate this terrible competition. Like, I don't know how much I can really glean from that. Like,
but they also have the second best record in Major League Baseball in terms of teams at 500 or above.
Yeah.
So I mean, look, obviously they've cleaned. I think they're 30-10 against teams that are below 500. So they've cleaned up, but they're 29-19 against teams that are 500 or better. So it's not like they've been horrible against. And the only team with a better record against teams above 500 or better, that would be the Yankees.
Yeah, they crapped their pants against last weekend.
I'm never gonna slam a team for beating the teams they're supposed to beat.
Well, they're also a game under against Houston and New York when you look at all those games.
Yeah, but they played them 13 times, and most of those have been on the road. So,
good point, Chris.
You know.
All right.
Kiefer wins. So, Sean, if you don't know this, so one irksome thing about my pal here to my left.
What's that?
He's big into what your record is at the regular season. Like, if it was up to Chris,
top of the table.
If it was up to Chris, we would have had a parade for the 18-1 2007 Patriots.
Because oh yes, that point
the 16-0 it matters so much. The most embarrassing banner in history.
I believe
did Jonathan
you guys
give you that banner, Chris?
No, I don't know where that banner is, but I would gladly take it. That is a monumental accomplishment in NFL history. As I've said, how many teams have you seen, like the Ravens? Like, you know, what year was that, 2012 or whatever?
Yeah, 10-6.
They go 10-6, yep. And they get hot and win a couple of games and win the Super Bowl. Big whoop. How about trying to win 16 regular season games in a row? Only been done once. You tell me which one is harder to do.
Especially in that last game, which, we have to win for the precious record. Let's throw everything on the table and show the New York Giants what we got. This New York Giants team that was basically a mirror of the 2001 Patriots that got hot at the right time and then was the team nobody wanted to play. We don't have to worry about seeing them again. How'd that work out?
That Eli helmet, it's calling your name. You said you'd smash that thing? You'd smash it like the hotel room you smashed up after they lost that game?
No, that was that was 2003, the Aaron Boone home run.
Oh, I'm confusing your stories.
Sitting in a hotel room with Yankees fans. Yes, that cost me dearly, financially.
And had you done that thing, that weird thing you described once to those drapes?
I don't know what you're talking about. I used to do the old hillbilly wipe back in the day with the drapes at lesser hotels. Again, I'm a stupid animal. Anthony in the car, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I know you're talking about washed-up Celtics, but those early 90s Red Sox, like the Jack Clarks, the Rob Deers, Rick, I guess this was a little later, but Ricky Henderson. The Red Sox had some real...
Canseco,
right. But at least, I mean, they were in the playoffs, and they had Mo Vaughn and Garcia Park. Frank Viola.
Yeah, right.
So the Red Sox really give are the epitome of those sort of, you know, oh, look, we signed this guy because he was good back in 1983 or back in 1992, you know. And I just thought, Big Jim, when the Patriots fans start getting together in August and September and, you know, the Patriots go 12-4, don't let the callers do the media overblown. This is so overblown. You guys created this controversy. Like, it's died down a little bit, but I can just see the would-be Patriots fans doing that this year, saying that, it was all media contrivance about what's going on. And just one more real quick point, that idiot who talked about, like, race and beating and the domestic violence stuff, that white kicker got one game, and the reason the NFL doesn't want to come down on it is because they don't want the owners to their past to come out, because they can, with the PED stuff, they can say, well, we don't do PEDs, but if they start coming down on the players, there might be some bad stories that come out.
Yeah, thanks. Look at Jerry Richardson. What was the fine he ended up having to pay for all the
$2.75 million, was it?
Dirty stuff he was doing behind the scenes. Yeah, no, those guys have skeletons, too. Man, the one thing that I barely even listened to the rest of his call. But by the way, you don't need August to September. They're already whining about it now. Fake news, hashtag fake news, you're making it up. No, the Brady Belichick thing's real, believe me. For all of you guys that, you know, you hate us, or Felger, who's normally sitting here because, you know, you think you're making it up. When you have the likes of Tom E. Curran, who's as close to the team as possible, and you always trusted him, saying that, hey, it's a real thing here, and what's going on between, you know, Brady, Belichick, Kraft, and Alex Guerrero, you don't believe him now? Like, continue to stick your head in the sand. It's real. Granted, I think they'll compartmentalize like they did last year, and it's not really going to bother them, but it's a real story. The one thing I couldn't focus the rest of the call, that Frank Viola, you know, I hated him so much we ended up in a Red Sox uniform because fat little Jimmy, who was so obsessed with Roger Clemens, was that 88 that he ended up beating him out for the Cy Young? Oh, I held that against him forever. I was so obsessed with Clemens and was such a, like, a, you know how you are when you're little, it's like baseball and then everything else. I was psycho about baseball cards. And then it was Viola who ended up beating out Clemens. I think he only had like one or two more wins than him. I believe it was 88. Correct me if I'm wrong there, looking up the stats.
1988, anyway. Viola was 24-7.
That son of a bitch. Oh, I was so mad. Frank Viola making a deal with the devil, having that kind of a season, beating out Clemens for that Cy Young. And he ended up in a Red Sox uniform a handful of years later. I was like, every time, like, oh, F him.
So was he the original David Price for you?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Did you do a Frank Viola impression?
No. No, if Shaughnessy grew a mustache, though, he might be able to kind of, because he kind of had him and Frank Viola kind of looked kind of the same. There's like the red curls and whatnot. Let's get him a twins hat and have him grow a mustache next time he's in on Zoe and Beetle. We'll do a compare and contrast with photos. Okay, we're going to wrap up here. We'll get to the final word where I understand we will have a best of Squeaky Maz and Mad Mike to wrap up an agenda-free Friday here on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, as it is this time of night, every time. It is time for the final word, and for the guaranteed lowest prices on tires, I would suggest you go to Town Fair Tire, because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nice.
All aboard Town Fair Tire. All aboard.
So this is a Friday thing, right?
The whistle's in any time.
The whistle's in any time.
All you got to do is request it, Sean, I'll dance for you.
Will the whistle be present for Gaspar and Murray 11 to 2 Saturday?
All aboard Gaspar and Murray tomorrow, just because Chris and I are working today. We'll be doing our normal Saturday shift. All aboard.
Looking forward to more 18-1 talk. You brought that up last weekend, too. On the
I'll bring it up any chance. Yeah. 5.5 championships, Brady.
I mean, if you,
five
didn't,
and a half.
If you didn't think our Saturday show was the same show over and over again anyway, well, if you listened today, well, boy, get ready for tomorrow, because it's going to be the same damn thing.
Pounding 19-0.
All aboard.
Hey, remember Cy Sperling?
I'm saying to talk about it before they kick the football off the first week of the year is insane to me.
Haven't we moved on from him?
Oh, boy. Remember the hair club for men guy?
You are so frustrating at times.
Am I the president, I'm also a client.
Also a client,
not
yes.
Only do I work here, but I listen to that show avidly. I'll be looking forward to your
Thank
show
you,
tomorrow.
Sean.
Thanks, man.
The Friday thing I was talking about, Mad Mike, Squeaky Maz, right?
Mm-hmm. We should have done more Gunner Talk in July.
Just missed those guys, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. All right, so we got some classic Mad Mike, some classic Squeaky Maz today.
All right.
Are these in carts, Jimmy?
Oh, good. Well, nothing says think on your toes like live radio, especially when it's simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. Yeah. Dance. All right, well, how about
toot that horn.
it's a live impromptu final word, everybody. All aboard. All aboard the train wreck. We seem to be going off the rails a little bit here. Oh no. Is that in carts? We don't have it ready to play.
I have it.
The best of. Go ahead, Jimmy.
This is an angry, this is Mad Mike, Squeaky Maz combo from 2013.
Excellent.
Okay.
Mike, I mean, I don't know if you just coached Tony on what to say before the show, but are you guys even watching? Because if you were, you would know that speed has nothing.
Hey, Aiden.
To
Aiden.
What?
Aiden.
Hold on. What's up?
I think it's all with crap, but go ahead.
Okay. But anyway, both of those two goals, okay, had nothing to do with speed.
I'm sorry, Aiden. I hate to break it to you, but speed is the... is the component. It's a combination. You know, when they put Bickle back with that line, the physicality of Bickle sort of
creates space.
Creates space that their speed fills in.
By the way, do I need to ask you what I should say first? No, I'm wondering, like, is this okay that I say it? Like, so
should I give him permission, Beetle?
Yeah, please, give me permission on script it out for me. Over two games, those two guys are, Chara's a -5 over two games, and it's not the speed factor. They can't cover the ground with these guys. It's so apparent. Kane is beating them to loose pucks. That's another part of the issue. Part of it is that they're responsible and committed and focused on other guys. And part of it is that Kane's faster than they are.
Yeah.
What's the gray area?
I don't know.
They gotta split those guys up like they did in the third period.
Did you email them that this morning?
Yes. That's in the notes, Mass. Very well. You read it very well.
No, I'm wondering, is this okay that I say it?
Boy, that's going way back. That's pre-me, too. I'm not even sure I remember that. And I was an avid listener before I came.
Extra in. Squeaky there.
Yeah. What else we got?
So we have a Mad Mike. We had a few mentions of Deflategate. So, of course, we have to have a Mad Mike on Deflategate.
Hit it.
I mean, I can't believe I had to sit down with another legal document and a highlighter, but I did. I
saw them this morning. Yeah.
Yeah. Goldberg writes to Ted Wells. League security personnel subjected him to irresponsible accusations of lying to them, blah, 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 on for 1,000 words. The direct email to Ted Wells. They put in bold.
Since we had an agreement from the outset that, barring extraordinary or unexpected circumstances, each person would be subjected, blah, 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 in bold. Given this history, if you want some added information from Jim McNally, let me know what it is, and I will consider the best way to get relevant information to you. Thanks. Best. Dan. What he's really saying is, go kiss my ass, you blood-sucking leech. F you, Dan. In bold. And then they send an email on the 17th of March. Here is what the security videos, some of which you acknowledge you had not yet looked at, here's what these security videos show as to McNally's activities. And then it goes on and on, about him, no official telling him to stop, him walking by the NFL official James Daniels. On and on. From lists seven different points. And then they go on to say, well, we could tell by your measurements at halftime, which took 14 minutes, and that detail process, you couldn't possibly do it in 95 seconds. He's not doing what you did at halftime. This guy's just taking the top off the ball. You unzip the bag. That's all he's doing. Well, that's not what your guy's accused of doing. He's accused of doing something else in there. So why are you giving me an argument, and why are you giving me a false argument? We can dance around. We can keep doing this dance back and forth forever. You're not cooperating. F you. In bold.
That is certainly some of Mike's best work. I think we can all agree there, Jimmy. But the other thing I think that you and I can certainly agree on is thank God that story is mostly over. I mean, we'll still get the occasional call here and there of, they're going to suspend Jameis Winston only 3 games. Oh, come Brady, God, the deflated football, deflated football. Oh, man, that was, I don't know if I'll ever hate a story like I hated that one, Chris.
It drew a lot of money for us, Jim. It drew a lot of money for
That's
us.
That's true. That is true. I did like cashing those bonus checks. But on the other hand, man, that story sucked. And it was just month after month, month after month after month after month after month.
Don't make me reach for the highlighter, Jim.
Yeah, oh, God, let's go over
Next
it again.
Next message to McNally.
Oh, that Balghazi. God, I hated that. But again, ratings were great then. All right, so wraps
Why
up.
Why do you think he'd call him the deflator?
So wraps up Felger and Maz on an agenda-free Friday. Hell of a time, as always, there, Chris.
Yeah, it went by so fast. It was pretty quick.
See that? Respective employers, this is the show. Oh, you can't fake this kind of chemistry. Hint, hint. I'll see you tomorrow at 11.
And then Tom wrote...
from 11 to 2.
Tom's balls are going to be... Never mind.
Gaspar Murray, and if you miss it, from what I understand, from executive producer Jimmy Stewart, we're going to start finally podcasting Gaspar and Murray on 98.5thesportshub.com.
It'll be up on the Felger and Maz channel starting tomorrow.
All right. So, Chris, I'll see you in the morning.
Sounds good, Jim.
We'll rinse and repeat and do the same show all over again. So, that's going to do it for Felger and Maz today.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.